And these yeshivas, there was a yeshiva in Navaradok, a Musar yeshiva, a very famous Musar yeshiva. These yeshivas filled the void that Volozhin had left. And they filled it to such an extent that, to a great extent, Volozhin wasn't, it was not expendable, but it was replaceable. Main activity of the yeshiva movement remained in Lithuania and in White Russia. It remains almost the patent of the Lithuanian Jews. But to think that that was the only type of yeshiva and that that was the only place in the world that there were yeshivas would be a bad error. That was not correct. At the same time that Volozhin was beginning, a second yeshiva began, as I mentioned to you last week, in the famous Austrian border city of Presburg, which today is called Bratislava. It's a Czechoslovakian city today on the Danube, on the border with Hungary. Now, what is today Austria, what is all of Czechoslovakia, what is part of Yugoslavia, what is Galicia, part of Poland, what is all of Hungary, and what is a piece of Romania, and what is part of Albania, all belong to the Habsburg Empire. The Habsburgs were the emperors of Austria, and they ruled for hundreds of years, and their demise occurred during the First World War, when almost all the European empires were dealt a fatal blow. But in the 19th century, under the rule of the Habsburgs, the Austro-Hungarian Empire was, if not hospitable for Jews, it provided a climate where Jews felt somehow that they could succeed and be comfortable. Compared to the Tsar, the emperors of Austria were righteous, fair, just people. Was one emperor, particularly the famous emperor Franz Joseph, who was an emperor for over 70 years, died in his 90s, he lived till the First World War, and he had a title among the Jews in his empire of being a Melech HaChesed, of being a benign ruler. Now the Habsburgs were fervent Roman Catholics, and one should not get the impression that they were not anti-Semitic. It came with the turf. But on the other hand, the rights that the Jews had in the Austro-Hungarian Empire were mainly protected, and the rights were legitimate, and Jews found it to be a hospitable place. And therefore, beginning in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, and throughout the 19th century, you had a mass immigration of Jews into the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Many say that that's what caused the Austro-Hungarian Empire to become more anti-Semitic, because we'll see that, it used to take Jews to cause anti-Semitism. That's not true anymore. I mean, China, there are a lot of places in the world where there aren't Jews, and nevertheless, anti-Semitism, or political anti-Semitism at least, exists. But in the old world, in the world of the 19th century, you could almost measure anti-Semitism in its relationship to the population of the Jews. And where there were most Jews, there was most anti-Semitism. Which, again, I am certain that you understand the idea that I'm saying. There's most racism in multiracial societies. You go to a society that's all white, so then they don't understand why you're discriminating against the blacks. But if you inject into that society, as happened to England, for instance, a large number of blacks, 6, 8, 10% of the population, then racial tensions occur. The Jews who moved to the Austro-Hungarian Empire brought with them their Jewishness, and they brought with them their foreignness, their fact that they were alien, that they were different. All of those things are